Okay, well, today we have yet another passage which revolves around the topic of love. As those of you who have joined over the last few weeks will know, we've been journeying through a series on 1 John, the letter written by the disciple of that name to encourage the early church. And throughout 1 John 1, 2 and 3, we've heard how John reminds his hearers, reminds us, of our call to be light and love, participating with God in his mission in the world, to join with him in his passion and his purpose for reaching people here and now. Just last week, we were challenged to consider how we as a church family at St. Nick's love one another as we journey through life together. And today we're picking up on that same theme of love, this time looking outwards. Love engaged out there in the wider world. And a thought did cross my mind as I prepared for the sermon. Why on earth do we need more teaching on love? In today's text, as well as the other chapters we've heard throughout the series, John is just a little at risk of repeating himself. You may have noticed there's only so many ways that you can exhort someone to love, to keep loving. But that is what John does. He effectively states that the only proof we have, the only proof we have that we really know and follow Jesus is the love we have, the love we demonstrate towards others. In the passage that we've heard, John reminds us that love starts with God. Through the sending of Jesus, that is how we know that we are loved. And as we, as followers of Christ, are so to love others. And the one key kind of text that we're going to hone in on today is picked up in verse 19. We love because he first loved us. John reiterates that love starts with God, and once we know that love, that is when we cannot help but love others. So just as a brief outline, in order to sort of explore and unpack that a bit today, we're going to navigate together through three central questions that this passage kind of raises. So first of all, what is love? What do we mean by that? Secondly, if we only love because God loves us, does this mean only Christians can love? How does that work? And lastly, what does that mean for us here tonight in Newbury, across the next week? What does love look like for us? So, first of all, we're just going to take a few moments to consider, what do we actually mean when we talk of love? Now, I'm well aware that love is the great theme of our Christian faith. It is the very core of the gospel message, and it's the heart of our Christian tradition. Greatest commandment being to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. John 3:16. It's a good summary of the gospel message. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. In the wider world as well, we're continually surrounded by expressions and proclamations of love. In fact, the world around us positively gorges on the notion of love. It takes centre stage in all our popular songs, agony aunt columns, romantic novels, greeting cards. But it's perhaps especially within Christian circles that love being such a core theme can become something so basic, so simple, so obvious, that we begin to almost sort of overlook it. Why on earth do we need yet another teaching on love? The fact is, love being such a basic element to life itself in the world around us and for us with our faith can mean that we're actually sort of at risk of overexposure to the word, leading to a rather casual flippancy when we speak of love. It's not at all unusual for me to profess my utter love for Pete, for my nephew and niece, a brand of chocolate, a new book that's just come out, and a particular coffee shop and someone's new hairstyle, all in the same sort of 10-minute conversation. Clearly, there are varying types, depths and degrees of love in our culture. And it is important to be aware of that, lest we end up watering down the meaning that John is referring to here. I sort of just had a quick look around in the shops. I'm sure you would have noticed at the moment Valentine's season is upon us. And it seems that in our culture there are sort of two different camps that people can sort of easily go to when they think of love. So I just have a short selection of cards here. On the one hand, lots of very mushy, cute, but completely irrelevant cards filled with sort of fluffy, nice little images, indicating love to be a nice, warm, fuzzy sort of feeling, a whimsical sort of thing that you can't really pinpoint. On the other hand, we also find innuendo-based humour on many cards, highlighting an emphasis on self-focused gratification with quite a transient and convenience-based view of love. The world around us understands that love is what makes people feel good. And the world therefore says it's okay to do anything you want to get it. Indeed, we do need love. Each of us yearn to be loved and to be able to love. It's how we're made, it's part of who we are. But it's rare we see living examples of real love. The kind of love that John speaks of. True love, real love, is completely different to those things. The word has almost been hijacked. The images we've seen contrast radically to the notion of love as John speaks of, the love spoken of throughout the Gospels. John tells us there is only one way in which true love is seen. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son. So, what does this show us? What do we learn from this? God showed his love, so love is not just a feeling. It is not something that is convenience-based. It's something that is shown. It's far from a feeling, far from convenient, and it's something that is demonstrated through an action. Love is a choice displayed in an action. Choice of the Father to love us and send the Son, whose love for us on the cross is the basis of where love comes from, where our love stems from. And for that reason, love is a choice. And this card, perhaps, is the one that sums up love the best in the shops at the moment. Love is a choice, it's not always easy, but we are called to choose to love. Love is displayed in an action, and if it's not displayed, it is not love. And it's from this understanding that John exhorts us to love our neighbour, our co-workers and our friends who don't yet know the love of God, and to witness this sacrificially in a culture that predominantly only recognises a transient and self-focused view. So a question that some of us might have at this point is, well, if the true meaning of love, the true definition of love, stems from God's sacrifice of his Son, can only Christians love? What about those who don't follow Jesus? Can't they love too? Indeed, the Bible tells us that we are all made in God's image with this great capacity to love. God is love, and we are made in his image. And that means we all love. But sadly, the fall has changed our ability to do so. You may have noticed, a quick look at the world around us, we no longer enjoy perfect relationship with one another or with God. Everything, including our ability to love, has been tainted and flawed. So however noble and highly motivated one's love may be, in this world it falls short of the divine pattern. Human love itself cannot fulfill our deepest need for love, no matter how much we might desire it to. An instinctive longing for love resides within the core of each and every one of us. And whilst humans can get by with human love, one cannot thrive unless receiving the divine love that God gives, the divine love from the author and source of love and life itself. And this is the love that we need to have well up within us if we are to reach the world. Now, the truth of this is emphasised by Jesus in his interactions with the Samaritan woman at the well, chapter 4 of John's Gospel. They have a little chat in the hot noonday sun, and it is pointed out that the lady would have to return to the well daily. The water of the well was available, and it brought only temporary relief for her. She would have to return each day in order to fend off her thirst, each day until her dying day. In contrast, Jesus emphasises that the thirst-quenching love he alone provides satisfies our souls, meaning one will never thirst again, never thirst for love again in Jesus. And you know also, if you can see on the screen there, it is from this place, receiving Jesus' love, that love can therefore well up from within us to overflow to others. When I became a Christian, before that point, I only knew the form of love that the world offered. And that meant I was only able to love in ways that I knew. The way I'd always seen relationships up to that point was that if it was mutually beneficial and convenient, then that was fine for the time being, but otherwise, quite frankly, my life was too full and too fragile to invest on anyone on an unconditional basis. I looked out for number one, no one else would. When I turned to God and chose to live for him, however, I almost instinctively realised that that was no longer an option. The bar of love had been raised, and it turned the focus from me to others. Can you love without being a Christian? Of course you can. Yet it's only in Jesus that we can truly know love. And from that point alone, knowing his love, can true love overflow from us to impact on the world around us. We love because he first loved us. So the question for us today is, how well do I display my love for God and others in the choices I make and the actions I take? I find it's fairly easy to say that I love God if it doesn't cost me more than a weekly attendance at a religious service. The real test is how we live out our lives, how we view and treat others. And John reminds us that we cannot say we love God and not love others. We are to be known for our love in action. A US survey a few years back researched two of the most commonly associated words with Christianity, with Christ's followers. Two most commonly associated words. Does anyone want to take a stab at what they might be?
The.
Good try. Thank you, Graham.
There
is a US survey that researched the two most commonly associated words with Christianity. Commonly associated words.
Faith.
Sorry, I can't hear.
Faith.
Sadly not. I would love it if that were the case. The two...
Hypocrisy
heard over here too. Sadly, that was one of them. Judgmental and hypocritical. Those were the two words given at that point in time. And clearly, this is just a caricature. But it's one that can be based on some truth. We are to be known for our love in action. Now, this doesn't mean, as I know can be tempting, that in order to avoid that caricature, we must seek only to affirm and love everyone around us and the world's values. That's not the case. Our call to love means serving the world by faithfully showing them Jesus and pointing to his teachings as the only way to full life. And that can be hard. That can be challenging. Remembering as we do that the world around us does not read the Bible. But they read our lives and they read our actions. We are to be known by our sacrificial choice. I would love it if we were known for our faith and our love. True love is attractive, and trust me, the world is hungry for it. So as we begin the week ahead, let me encourage you to pray for God's love for those you interact with. Yes, your friends, your family, your colleagues, your neighbours, but also for those who are harder to love. Your boss, if they're having a tough day and you're bearing the brunt of their stress. Traffic warden, who has hung around to get you as you come up 1 minute past. Person who cuts you up on the roundabout because they're on their phone. Inconsiderate commuters. Whoever it is that is hard for you to naturally love. I suggest that this week would be a good week to commit to trying a different response. I'm not suggesting that our response in those situations, we would verbalise anything, but what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And you know, it will not feel easy. It takes time and effort and a commitment when the opposite reactions spring more quickly to mind. Often doesn't look or feel appealing, and you almost certainly won't feel like it. Yet we're called to choose to love imperfect people who both annoy us and let us down, and to demonstrate that with action. You know, sometimes I wonder if this wasn't how I appeared when God first chose to show his love to me. Empty and dry, no resources left, nothing to give, nothing to deserve. And you know, those who are empty, the world around us who does not know Jesus, those who are empty often cannot live very attractive lives. Yet, godly friends patiently stood by and loved me for years before I came to know Jesus. Despite my gentle mocking of their faith, despite deliberately asking awkward questions, and despite my complete apparent unlikelihood to ever choose God, God still chose to love me, and they did too. So let me encourage you this week to find that person here in Newbury who you can be that person for. Choose to love them in action, despite everything. And as you do that, one of the most loving things that we can do for those around us is to pray for them. I've lots of friends who don't yet know Jesus, and yet the one that I have committed to praying for daily is the one for whom I am most likely to go out of my way to do anything to support, encourage, and love her. Practical ways that I can do that will often spring to mind as I pray for her, and I found that the more I pray for her, the more I want to see her thrive, the more I want to see her reach fullness of all that God has for her. As we pray, we tune into God's heart for people and places. So as we think about how we can love in action this week, prayer will be at the heart of it. Now, it may be that for some of us here, as you're sort of listening to this, this encouragement to love in action this week, it may be that actually you're not feeling at all up for this. There have been seasons in my journey where if I was listening to something like this, I'd be thinking, oh, please, another thing to feel guilty about not doing. Just give me a break. I'm just trying to hold it all together. Now, if that's you tonight, then I urge you this week to make space to rest in God. We love only because he first loves us. Love is not to be a struggle. It is not to be something we try really, really hard to muster up or store up as God dispenses it. Love is not a commodity that needs to be managed. Love from God is infinite. And if it feels that way right now, if it feels that you're having to store it up and muster it up, then you need first and foremost to know that you are called into his love and to rest in that place. A wise friend once said to me, it seems to me that when we really get it, when we really get the truth of God's love for us and it really just grabs us, and enters our hearts, we are set on fire for him and his mission of love. And if we're not on fire, you cannot work it up yourself. If we're not on fire, you haven't got it yet. Return to that place of love. Similarly, John today in the passage for us emphasised that to be loved by God is to love the world. It is to be overwhelmingly caught up in God's passion and purpose as his love overflows into our hearts. In chapter 5, he reminded us, his commands are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So if this feels burdensome to you, return to his love. We only love because he first loved us. For others here, it may be that you've never actually paused to consider that love before. If that's you, it's not an accident that you are listening to this talk, it's not an accident that you are here. Don't leave it any longer. Ask God in prayer to know his love for yourself. You may or may not feel anything as you do, but know that if you choose to accept his love, shown for us in Jesus, you have received it. Now, it's also important to recognise that true love, the choice to love through action, isn't just hard work requiring effort, though it is those things. Loving another can also be incredibly painful. We're not perfect, and no matter how much we try, we will inevitably hurt and be hurt by those we love in some ways. Commit anyway, and when you fail to love as perfectly as you hoped, choose to keep loving anyway. In many ways, to love, to truly love, is to feel pain. And the deeper we love, the deeper pain it can bring if things don't turn out quite as we hoped. The writer C.S. Lewis reiterates, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken." Jesus himself demonstrated this, weeping at the death of his friend Lazarus. And perhaps for some here tonight, the very real depth of pain experience has led you to conclude it's far safer not to love at all. C.S. Lewis writes again, "If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness." But he adds a warning too. "But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. We love because he first loved us. And it's only with God's love and his love alone can we dare risk to love. There are times when love looks unappealing, times when we fail to get it right, and times when loving others hurts more deeply than we can imagine. But we are exhorted to love nonetheless, with the hope of God's love making all things new. In his eternal kingdom, he promises there will be no more mourning or crying, for the old order of things will have passed away. And as we hold out this hope, let us choose to love boldly, persistently and patiently with those who we come into contact with the week ahead. Even and perhaps especially for those for whom the feeling of love does not come naturally. Love is a choice and it is displayed in an action. And this week, let me encourage you to find that person, find that situation where you can actively engage with that. So, why on earth do we need yet more teaching on love? Because while we're here on earth, love is at the centre of God's purposes for the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. Love is the greatest adventure that God calls us into. And tonight, we briefly looked at the definition of love in the Bible, how that's different from the love of the world around us, and consider what our own response to the call to love could be. How we are to partake in God's great mission through the risky, powerful and profound way of love. So the question before us on the screen, who and how is God calling me to love? And more importantly, how will my action and prayer demonstrate that this week? We're actually going to have a time to reflect on that now. We're going to move into a time of prayer. Firstly, leaving just a space for God, a time of silence, while we deliberately wait on him. Ears and hearts open for each of us to catch a sense of God's love for the people that we come into contact with, how his heart is moving. After that time, I'll indicate, and at that point, it'd be really good if we could just gather together in small groups, those around us, threes, fours, and just pray for the week ahead, the people and situations in the week ahead that you would like to be engaging with intentionally, to choose to bring God's love into those situations. Now, if you're not quite sure what to pray for and what to do at that point, then we've already heard some of the great stuff going on in Newbury, in the town around us, through the YMCA, and across the other weeks as well, with the street pastors and the therapy garden. If you're not quite sure, then you can always use that time to pray for the good work that's already going on. But we'll have a time of quiet now before we then begin praying in small groups. And towards the end of that time, I'll indicate to the band, they're then happy to come back up and lead us in just a time of reflective prayer. So let's still before the Lord, and I'll pray for us as we begin that. Father, I pray that we, being rooted and established in your love, may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to really know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that we may be filled to overflowing. Show us now, Father, where you'd have us overflow to this week. We wait before you now.